You are now live.
Good evening. Shalom Aleichem. Welcome to SheerEnjoyment.com. We want to thank our host, Jake Weinman, for putting this all together, making this possible, bringing us together to learn some Torah on this Monday night. And as we always, we want to begin with an acknowledgement to our sponsor for dedicating this year, Le'ilu Nishmas, Mamish Yitzchok Ben Aryeh. May his neshama have an aliyah. This week is Parshas Truma. Parshas Truma discusses all the different parts of the Mishkan, the command of Hashem that we build for him a place in this world where he can rest his divine presence. And as well, this week is the Shabbos before Purim. And thus we take out a second Sefer Torah and we read Parsha Zohar. We read about the major theme of Purim. Haman was a descendant of Amalek, and we experienced the evil, the harm that our enemies wish upon us. The miracle of Purim was the defeat of Amalek, the defeat of our enemy, Haman, and we use it as a springboard, as an inspiration that in the times of Mashiach, evil will cease to exist in this world. Evil is personified in Amalek. And we mention, we read the mitzvah in Parshas, Kiseitze Zachor Eisa She'osu L'cho Amalek B'derech B'tseischem in Mitzrayim. We read about what happened when we left Mitzrayim. Amalek attacked us. And Hashem gave us a mitzvah to remember what they have done to us. Remember and to be aware that in this world there is a force of evil. And when the time comes, in the times of Mashiach, under the guidance of the Melech HaMashiach, this evil will be eliminated from the world. And we have an obligation to remember this very important mitzvah, to appreciate and to understand that in this world there is evil. It's not something we can just turn away from. It's not necessarily in our hands to take an active role in eliminating evil, but we should not fool ourselves in thinking that everything is good. Zachor eis asher osel cho amolek b'derech b'tseischem and b'tshoyim. And when the time will come, Hashem will give us the ability through Melech HaMashiach to deal with the issue. The question I want to present tonight is there any connection between the building of the base of the Mishkan in the desert and the mitzvah of remembering Amalek? So I'd like to try to suggest something a little bit off the beaten track. Let's start with the beginning of the parsha. In the parsha, we start with the Mishkan, and the Torah describes this structure with two very different words. On the one hand, the Torah calls it a mikdash. In the beginning of the parsha, it says, the osuli mikdash. Make for me a mikdash. Rashi says a bayis that is holy, a mikdash. It's a very powerful word. We use that term in reference to the Beis HaMikdash, the bayis rishon, the bayis sheni, and the Yirtz Hashem la'asalava, the bayis shlishi, a holy permanent place. But then the pasuk goes on to describe this structure as the Mishkan. Torah tells us the rules of the different parts, and it begins with the very next pasuk. K'chol asher ani mara oisecha eis tavnis, the image HaMishkan. Another term used to describe this structure. Mishkan, simply means a place where, of dwelling, a place where Hashem resides, a place where Hashem rests his divine presence. The question is, why there are two terms? Why is this structure called, on the one hand, a mikdash, and on the other hand, is it called a mishkan? What exactly is the difference between these two words? That's one idea. Let's go to Parsha Zohar. Many shuls, many communities have a custom. It's cited by the Mishnah Berurah, Chafetz Chaim, that being that it's a very unique mitzvah, we want to do it perfectly. And there is a question in our tradition as to the pronunciation of the word in Parsha Zohar. The end of the parsha, the end of the laning, we read that we should not forget what they have done to us. The words are, Tinche, you shall obliterate, es zecher Amalek. And the question is our tradition, zecher, correct? Maybe the correct pronunciation is zecher. Underneath the Zion, is there a tsere, two dots, and that forces us to pronounce the word zecher. But maybe the correct pronunciation is a segel, three dots, which forces us to pronounce the word zecher Amalek. And the Mishnah Berurah writes powerful words. He writes, Vada, be aware. We really do not know what is correct. And therefore, there are some who have the custom to read it both ways. There's a lot of discussion how to read it both ways. Do you read the Pasuk twice or do you read the expression twice? Most of us read the expression twice. We don't necessarily read the entire Pasuk. Some are of the opinion that it's not proper to read the entire Pasuk. Should you just read the word twice? That may be a little bit confusing. Okay, whatever, there are different customs as to how we go about doing this. I know this is a very controversial topic because there are some people that are very passionate about this issue, and they argue that today we have evidence that the correct pronunciation is zecher. There's a lot of discussion about this that relates to the Aleppo Codex and other sources. And some people have a very passionate connection to this issue, and that's really remarkable, and it's beautiful. And Baruch Hashem, I in no way am getting involved in this passionate debate as to the correct pronunciation, the Messiah. Most of us, most communities that I've had the pleasure of being part of and davening, they read both ways. They read it zecher and zecher as what the Mishnah Berurah says. Perhaps one day we will merit to have a clear understanding, but there are significant number of people today that do read it both ways, out of doubt. Some only read it one way, some only read it zecher, some only read it zecher. Okay, it is what it is. The question is there a difference in meaning between the word zecher and the word zecher? Does it mean the same thing? Or maybe there is a slight difference of meaning between these two words. Can we perhaps say that just as there is a difference, if there is such a difference between zecher and zecher, perhaps we can homiletically connect this to the difference between the word mikdash and the word mishkan in the parashas HaShavua? So let's start, let's go backwards. Let's start with zecher and zecher. The word zecher means the remembrance of, which would imply, as Rashi really seems to explain the meaning of the word zecher, the remembrance of, we have an obligation to erase from this world the remembrance of, which means, let's try to find the right words, there will always be a principle, there will always be the existence of Amalek. Amalek will never go away. There is an Amalek. Amalek has been eliminated. It has been removed. And now we go to the next step where any artifacts, any object, any memory, there will not be a museum to preserve what once existed. Amalek has been eliminated. They have been destroyed. They are no longer here. And we now go to the next level where any object in this world that would remind us that once upon a time there was an Amalek should be removed. The remembrance of, Rashi gives examples, animals that belong to an Amaleki or objects. A very simple level we can just explain. There will not be a museum that will present the ancient people of Amalek or anything that relates to Amalek. Evil is no longer in this world. It is gone. It's gone. Let us forget about it. Let us not ever put ourselves in a situation where we have even a memory of the evil of Amalek. But there's another word. And the other word is Zecher Amalek. I remember once I asked Radolsky, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, he was Rosh Yeshiva of Torah V'Das, and he was explaining, discussing this issue, and he said, and mentioned that there are other words in the Torah which have the same grammatical form. For example, Vatal Ashonoi Ke'eshen HaKivshon. Eshen is smoke, like the smoke of the furnace. Eshen. The word Eshen is a noun. It is the essence. It is the object. If we take those vowels and we put that into the word Zayin Chafresh, those letters, Zecher, in a certain sense, it's a more powerful word. And the Torah says that when Mashiach will come, we will be obligated to obliterate the Zecher Amalek. It doesn't just mean objects that remind us that once upon a time there was an Amalek. It means to obliterate the very existence, the very essence. There is no Amalek. The essence of Amalek doesn't exist, shall be completely removed from this world. It's a very fine nuance between these two words. Zecher does not mean the essence. It means the remembrance of, a remembrance. Amalek, the concept, exists. But it's irrelevant that it exists because nothing in this world is here that can possibly remind us of its existence. Like, you know, the old mashal, if a tree crashes in a forest and there's no one in its vicinity to hear the impact of the crash, does it make noise? Does that crash produce a sound? The earwaves are there. The dynamics, the physical dynamics of what you need to make a sound are present. But it's irrelevant because there are no human beings. There are no living creatures that have the receptors to acknowledge that there's a sound. But the dynamics are present. When we say Timcha Zecher Amalek, it means make sure you create a world where there's not going to be a living creature in the vicinity of where the tree comes crashing down that the sound should be heard. Because we've taken away the conditions that there should be such a principle. But if you say Timcha Zecher Amalek, has a connotation of there are no sound waves. When the tree comes crashing down, even if there would be people in its vicinity, they wouldn't hear anything because we are uprooting the very essence of Amalek. Has a bit of a deeper connotation. Practically, is there a difference? It would seem not. But it's a matter of nuance. Let's now go to the beginning of the parasha. We have a beautiful parasha. We learn all about the Mishkan, making in this world a makom for Hashem. And there are two words to describe this structure, the word Mishkan and the word Mikdash. What does the word Mishkan mean? A Mishkan means it's Hashem's dwelling place. What does the word Mikdash mean? It is, in essence, a place of holiness. Why is it holy? Well, it's holy because Hashem dwells here. So say, it's Hashem dwells. Hashem lives here. Hashem resides here. No, Mikdash. The word Mikdash is a more powerful expression. It's not just that Hashem lives here, and because Hashem lives here, so that has an influence on the environment, and the environment becomes holy. It's deeper. The environment is holy. Its essence is holy because Hashem is here. Trying to suggest is that Mikdash relates to Zecher, and Mishkan relates to Zecher. When we describe Hashem as dwelling in this location, that means Hashem is here. But if Hashem departs, then the makom, the location, loses a degree of its sanctity. If we describe the location as it's a makom that's mukdosh, that is holy, Hashem is not leaving. It's not part of the equation that Hashem could possibly leave. Hashem is here, and the place, the location, is infused with natural, permanent holiness because Hashem is currently here, because Hashem is here. It's a matter of nuance, but there's more of an intensity in Mikdash than in Mishkan. Just like there's nuance, a small difference between Zecher and Zecher. So in other words, what we take away from this is we have a parsha and we have a maftir. The parsha deals with holiness. Kedusha utahara, with life, success, blessing. The maftir is a painful reminder that in this world there is pain and suffering, evil. There are wicked people. There are people who have caused our nation enormous grief and harm throughout the ages. And we have an obligation to acknowledge that and not shy away from the reality and to have the faith that the time will come when this will cease to exist. And we have to understand that there's a parallel. There are different levels. There are different madrigos in holiness, and there are different levels in the removal, the obliteration of things that are not holy. there is a lower level of holiness of Mishkan. Hashem is residing here now. Hashem is holy. He's come to this location to dwell. He's a resident in this structure. That's a very powerful level of holiness. But there's a higher level of holiness of a makom, a place that is an essence. And then we have the removal of evil. There are different levels of how evil will cease to exist. And it's our goal and our yearning that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring both for us. The different stages. Nothing in life happens overnight. Everything in this world is always a process. It's a process of things starting out on a simple level, lower level, and as we progress, we go higher and higher. And we yearn for the days where HaKadosh Baruch Hu will return to us. He will come and dwell amongst us, and that will blossom into a more intensified sanctity of Mikdash. And this will coincide with the times where evil will first take a back seat and distance itself, and people will begin to forget about evil and forget about that it ever once existed. And then it will blossom to where evil just doesn't exist. It's just not a reality anymore. Zecher HaMolech is no longer here to the same degree that the Mishkan has been transformed into the Mikdash. Thank you very much for listening. Have a wonderful evening, a wonderful week, and all the best to all of you. Good night.